Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Bactabear. We are diving into running back snap reactions for week 15. I'm going to do it a little bit different this week. I'm just going to run down the hierarchy, so you can go ahead and find that all at analyticsatdynasty.com, and I will link to it here in the show notes, and we'll do, you know, basically just kind of a rundown on the positions. Instead of going team, instead of going team alphabetical order, I want to go team hierarchy. So Dallas, and it's Zeke and Pollard, pretty much in a, it's largely a time split, but both I think are plenty capable of producing. If either one's injured, there's plenty of ceiling for both of them. It's a pretty equal time split. It varies a little bit from week to week. They're used pretty much interchangeably. I think if one of them was hurt, they would really, you know, the other one be a top six type projection any given week. All right, Minnesota, you've got Dalvin Cook playing 78 snaps this week out of 91. 13 there for Madison. Again, that's a little bit more of the fact that he played 91 snaps. Like, there's just not a ton of people conditioned to do that at running back. 17 carries for Cook. It's 2 for Alexander Madison. Listen, I think Cook's been kind of a disappointment. And, you know, overall, it's like just since week 10 here, he has been running back 8. It's at 16 points a game. I just thought we'd get more, honestly. And you look at some of the stuff with him about, like, yards over replacement. PFF had it wasn't PFF, it was somebody else actually had a good look at his yards over replacement, and it has gone down basically every year, to this being the lowest yards over replacement, over expectation. I'm sorry. He's has had basically his worst year this year. And again, he's a potential cut candidate. So, you know, we're going to have to see sort of what this offseason brings for him. I'm kind of interested in what they're going to do. Again, I think Kenny Wongwu and Ty Chandler are worth stashes on the deep end of the roster, because they could find themselves at an injury away type situation here going forward in 2023, with Madison being a free agent. Okay, next up, DeAndre Swift. He's back to more involvement. Justin Jackson's still there. Jamal Williams actually was the second. So it went... Swift ran routes on 17 out of 38 dropbacks. Again, that's not enough, but he actually had 8 targets, which is pretty wild that you could be targeted on basically almost half of your routes. He had 8 carries as well. I went 8 for 52. So he's really, he's the more explosive element, the most explosive element in this backfield. But it, to me, signals that they don't trust him. 28 snaps, 68 total plays for them. So don't love it, but I think we're kind of in a spot where, you know, he's kind of stabilized as an option in the running back 2 type landscape. I think, like, I faced some roster decisions with him this week. I kind of went with the opinion that I think he could put up a 30-point game in any given week, and I think a lot of the other people that I was debating about won't. So that's kind of the decision that I made in some spots. And I figured, you know, his median probably, you know, maybe a little bit lower than some of the other people, but his ceiling, where he would actually make a difference in outcomes, was going to be up at the, you know, up amongst the top positions. Green Bay plays Monday night, so we'll have to watch for that. Cincinnati, this is the Joe Mixon show. 42 snaps. He runs 20 routes, 11 carries. And it's Samaje Perine, you know, cutting in more sizably than he had early on in the season. So 25 snaps for him. He only had 1 target, but ran 14 routes and carried the ball 5 times. So you could kind of, like, look at that and be a bit I think you could look at it a couple of ways. You could say, all right, well, Mixon's getting kind of sapped a bit. When you look overall at his points scored since week 10, he's at 10.7, so that's, like, well into the running back 3 type range. He's at running back 33 during that time. And Perine, for his part, only played right? He's only really had a couple, a handful of starts in that. I think it was like two official starts in that time. He's up at running back 8 in points per game during that span. So, yeah, I mean, and Mixon largely ineffective with 11 carries, 21 yards in this game, and it's 7 for 24 for Pirine. He continues to kind of like outproduce him. Mixon did more of his damage in the receiving game. So Mixon feels much more in the running back 2 type landscape. Again, he's another one that contract-wise, I'm pretty interested to see what happens here in this offseason. Fournette in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're awful. They're tough to watch. But he firmly plays ahead of Rashad White. He went 25 routes, 15 routes for Rashad White, 10 carries for Fournette, 11 for Rashad White. Like, I've had enough of this backfield. I guess it's annoying. I think I'd play probably Fournette. I played White over Fournette this week. I think I'd probably play Fournette over White next week. On a week-to-week basis, it's pretty rough. It's in that running back 2 type flex position. You just kind of hope you get an injury way guy to not put yourself in this situation. Buffalo, it's James Cook and Devin Singletary, basically in a complete timeshare, essentially. It's Singletary's playing a little bit more, but they're basically used interchangeably, I guess is the easiest way to kind of put that. I do think that James Cook adds an element that you just aren't really gonna get from Devin Singletary. In fairness, Singletary was used kind of in like that clock killing role at the end of that game. But 13 for 42 for him. James Cook, 5 for 34. So again, James Cook's got that juice that Singletary just doesn't have. Singletary, 3 catches, 28 yards in the game. James Cook had that nice catch in the end zone for a touchdown. He goes 2 for 5 and a score. So you kind of hope down the stretch that you get a little bit more of James Cook. And I think a spot start for him would be kind of glorious. So maybe this is one of those situations where, you know, if they were to get to, I don't know, if they were to get to like week 18 and have a bye locked up, that would be interesting to kind of watch James Cook, get a full starting opportunity. I'd be curious to see how that happened. Maybe they rest Singletary, something like that. Washington, I've actually elevated this one to a higher priority injury away job, primarily because JD McKissick's out now and the job has become more concentrated, right? So I think that's one of those things where you could kind of look at it and say, all right, like if Brian Robinson were to get injured, Antonio Gibson's probably going to carry the full, you know, all of the water. It's a pretty clear split to me. It's 12 carries for Robinson. He looked very good. Only 5 for Gibson. But Gibson ran 24 routes to only 5 for Robinson. So it's one of those things like when we look back at some of the next gen stats as well. I had tracked that early on in the season. And when you kind of look at them, you see for the running back position that Brian Robinson is up at the top of the position in terms of 8-man boxes. He's down a little bit, so that's gotten a little bit better for him. Probably one of the reasons why he's performing better, if we're being totally honest. But again, he's still top. He's top 10 instead of being the second highest. But teams that the top players in terms of 8-man boxes that he faced: Tyler Allgeier, number 1, Deontay Foreman, number 2, Derrick Henry, 3, Caleb Huntley, 4, Christian McCaffrey, 5, Cordarrelle Patterson, 6, Kenyon Drake, 7, and then Brian Robinson is at 8, actually just ahead of Nick Chubb and ahead of Jamal Williams. So I take from that a couple of things. Number one, he's still performing above expectations, actually performing more above expectation than he was like a few weeks ago when we kind of discussed this. So that's good. When you actually look at the 8-man box stuff, it so much dictates about the guys who are the guys that are that kind of disappoint, right? Like it's a really interesting list. When you come back and you actually look at some of the stuff, I'll just use an example, and we'll get to this team in a second. But now we're on the topic. A couple of things. Deontay Foreman. If people are kind of we're going to turn the job over to Chuba Hubbard. Deontay Foreman has actually run into 8-man boxes at the second highest rate, 37.6%. His success rate actually on his rushes is sixth. So, and that just means, like, did you basically run above the expectation on a play? And he did that at basically 49%. So that's like a really good number. The players above him, Caleb Huntley, Cordarrelle Patterson, Khalil Herbert, A.J. Dillon, and Aaron Jones, right? There's probably some correlation in this. This is why I don't make a ton of the stat, but I think it's interesting, like, if you just kind of take a step back and kind of contextualize it, that Foreman's actually been pretty good. Right. And so I think that's interesting. He's getting, you know, banged down a little bit by their offense. But I think one of the things that you see is eight man boxes make running backs struggle on the stat sheet. But when you sort of strip it away, what you actually see is they are, you know, that's not their doing, basically. That's kind of their team's doing. And you look at Foreman, for example, like he's a half a yard over expectation. He's a half a yard over expectation. Now, I don't know if anyone like Arthur Smith would be, you know, interested in this. And I don't think that they have Chuba Hubbard on the list because I don't think he qualifies for the stat. But let me just check this week just as a comparison point. Doesn't look like it has it for this week. He is not on the list. That's a disappointment. But yeah, so it's funny to see him kind of like lose out on some of this work. It doesn't look like it has him. Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, it's interesting to kind of see how some of these stats work. And a lot of it is a lot of the things that the running backs don't control that affect them, which is a bit of a disappointment, when you're trying to deal with reason. Okay. The Patriots and Ramondre Stevenson back, 17 routes on 33 dropbacks. He ran 19 carries of their 28. So again, a good work share. He went for $172. It's good. It's not like an elite work share, but again, it was an elite performance. So, you know, you take some of that with a grain of salt. Pierre Strong actually played ahead of Kevin Harris, which is notable. So that's going to be one we're going to track. I think you got to pick up shares of those guys because Damian Harris is going to be a free agent. You're going to get a shot there. So I think that's a priority, is to add those guys this week wherever they are available. Especially if you fall out of contention, something like that. You want you want those guys to be on your roster and kicker defense, that type of stuff. You cut them. All right, but Stevenson, I think you feel confident as like a running back one going forward. Nick Chubb was a disappointment this week. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. 21 for 99. He's actually been kind of rough since Watson's been back. Like, the past 2 weeks have been a disappointment. He hasn't gotten he didn't score this week. It's less than 10 points. No real work in the receiving game. That's kind of a bummer. It's not what you're hoping for Nick Chubb. So. But he's playing well ahead of Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's getting phased down as well. Chubb is actually running 21 routes to 6 for Hunt this week. So, it's a big phase down for Kareem Hunt. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway that I have. You feel pretty confident about Nick Chubb from a workload perspective at this point. The offense hasn't really been that good with Deshaun Watson there. I will say, this is not anything sort of super predictive. By the way, Nick Chubb running back 22 since week 10. I haven't looked at anything like super predictive about it, but I did look, you know, there's kind of a trend. Either the guys that had been out for a long time at quarterback, they either kind of came back and played right at about what they were from the jump, or it took about a month. Like 3 weeks, 4 weeks type range was really when you started to see guys kind of take back off to what their prior performance was. And that's where we are at for Deshaun Watson. So we'll watch to see here going forward. I don't necessarily love it in terms of how he's been performing, but this could be a shot in the arm if he can take a step forward, in this week, and maybe you feel even more confident starting him in a championship game, something like that. Again, it's the Saints, so it's not necessarily a great matchup. And then in week 17, he's got the Commanders. So it'll be an interesting stretch run for this team. Seattle, and it's Kenneth Walker basically back as kind of your lead job. 12 carries, 47 yards in this game. 31 routes to 12 for Homer. So it's a clear Walker job. I think you feel pretty good about him going forward. And I think Homer's a clear injury away guy. All right, Arizona, and it's a James Conner job. 58 snaps for him, 34 routes, 16 carries. I had someone like poking around and be like, oh, look, Kyler Murray, you know, it's really going to tank James Conner for next year, like, bah, bah, bah. And I'm kind of like, I don't, like, that's not how I actually view that at all. And honestly, when you look at it, like, he's up at, it's a borderline 20-point game, right? He's 63 rushing yards and a touchdown. And then he goes 3 receptions, 28 yards. So, again, it's a high teens game. You'll take that. You'll take it. And, is it less dynamic without – is the offense less dynamic without a Kyler Murray? Yes. But, I mean, since week 10, James Conner's running back 4 points per game. So, I'm not super concerned about it. All right, next up we've got J.K. Dobbins and Baltimore, and he's back. I did note there was some stuff about his knee from Pro Football Doc. There was a picture of him taken with if you look at his knee, I think it was his left knee, whatever the knee that he had the surgery on. When you look at it, his sock came up to basically kind of like just below, like, I don't know, I guess it's where your patella is, like kind of just below where your shin ends. And then his pant was like just above kind of where your knee bends, right? So if you were to think about it, like kind of where your thigh ends, right? So it basically showed his entire knee. And there's a picture taken of it. And you could see kind of like 2 prominent bumps on his knee. It's his left knee. Pro Football, and there was like some consternation about it. Pro Football Doc says that those are the recent scope portals that are not completely sealed. The visible bumps are from the swelling that he had poking through the portals. Basically, I guess that's where the scope goes in. Those holes have been used multiple times to fix issues with his ailing knee. On a close-up view, there's also a scar from the midline incision, which was to harvest a part of his patella tendon for a graft during the ACL tear. I'm reading this in full because I think it's interesting. Dobbins is nearly 16 months into his recovery from his original multi-ligament tear. He may not be 100% until the offseason. The soon-to-be 24-year-old deserves a ton of credit for working his way back to this point. He faces the Browns on Sunday, his 24th birthday, with a chance to grab the lead in the AFC North. I just thought that was pretty notable considering basically he's not really close to being back yet, right? And I think that's super encouraging from the perspective of he is performing really well. Like this is a really good Dobbins game, right? And this was 13 for 125, like almost 10 yards a clip. Again, the pass game limitation is always going to be the concern there with the running backs in this backfield. He goes 1 for 3. He only ran 6 routes. Justice Hill was really the pass game work there. So I'm 1 foot in, 1 foot out on Dobbins. I'm encouraged by this, but I understand the limits of his production, right? I understand the limits of kind of where he's at in terms of this offensive structure, and that's pretty much always been true about Baltimore running backs. Gus Edwards is kind of your injury way running back with Hill would take really the receiving role as it exists in that backfield. All right, Miami. And for the running back position here, Jeff Wilson was out. He should be back, but they actually carved up the Bills a bit. The Bills, like, I'm not going to say that giving up 7.5 yards per carry was like their intent, but it did feel like they wanted to play like a couple of high safeties and kind of let them fiddle around underneath. They gave up a big run that kind of skews the stats a bit. It was a 67-yarder to Raheem Mostert where they just forgot to tackle. I think the backfield's probably better than they've done, right? I think the scheme and the system's better than the backfield's produced. Be interested to see sort of what they do at free agency if they address the position. But Mostert well ahead of Salvin Ahmed, I think, is the interesting part there. And you got him you know, it's not Gaskin really anymore. It's Ahmed. It's Salvin Ahmed. So, yeah, I think when Wilson's healthy, like, he's the injury away guy. But this is a good opportunity for Mostert in any game where Wilson's out. Josh Jacobs is running back 2 so far in the season. Don't have concerns. Again, he's been a little bit banged up with that. He's got like a quad thigh type deal going on. So, but not super concerned about it. He goes 22 for 93. He adds 2 for 17 receiving. So it's actually a down game for him. Doesn't score or anything like that. But, and again, McCaffrey's catching them a bit. But since week 10, he's running back 1 with 24.2 points per game. So feel pretty encouraged by that. Don't have a clear injury away guy either. It's like, I think Zamir White looked pretty tepid today when he was running, was kind of my reaction. Derrick Henry, he's the clear running back 1 for Tennessee. And in this game, he went 21 for 104 and a touchdown, 4 for 59. That passing game usage for Henry is like a smash. We'll have to do some analysis after the season, but like what he would be with his, when I do like the what would you be without receiving grading for running back, this is actually going to be one of the years that it hurts him as opposed to helping him, which I think is pretty funny. Hassan Haskins is the injury away guy. And then Julius Chestnut, who got some pop during the week, had 1 snap. So with Hilliard out on IR, it's a Haskins job. Make sure to gobble up any shares that you can for Hassan Haskins. Austin Eckert for the Chargers. What else do you want to know? He's awesome. And again, it is a bit of a down game for him. Again, like, they're leaving this out there for McCaffrey to make a charge. That's kind of what's going on with this running back 1 type competition. You know, they're not super interested in it, obviously, but we are. And they're leaving the door open for McCaffrey to go like thermonuclear in one of these games and just kind of take it. So, Eckler gets a rushing touchdown in the game, and then he it's like 58 yards, and adds 2 catches for 12 yards. I thought coming into this game, like, the option for this team was like, we're gonna spread it out and we're gonna throw it everywhere. We're gonna run the ball 5 times, kind of like the old, you know, the Patriots used this against the Steelers. The Steelers used to do this a bit against the Ravens, where they're like, we're not even going to feign like we're going to run. We're just going to throw it every play because the run defense was so good. I thought that was like the game plan for the Chargers, but they got kind of – they ran the ball 24 times, which is about what their average game is in terms of their splits. Herbert threw it 42, so – that's about an average game for them. They didn't really adjust, which I find curious. But anyways, Eckler, really good season so far. We'll see if he can hold on for running back 1. Kansas City, the revelation that is Jerick McKinnon, is kind of awesome. I love these stories, the kind of bounce back stories. He goes for 2 touchdowns in this game, 10 for 52 on the ground in a touchdown. He goes 8 for 70 in a touchdown. We've kind of been like looking for what's the next sort of, you know, what else is there in this offense? You know, it's Kelsey, it's Smith-Schuster. They've been toying around with some running backs, or really some tight ends. Like, the wide receiver 2s and 3s haven't really done anything, you know. And, like, what was really kind of like the third element? Well, it's really become McKinnon. So McKinnon, over the past, since week 10, he's running back 9. So that's pretty awesome. So yeah, it's exciting. I have him in a couple of spots, and, you know, got him in this week. I think I lost, so I'm not going to get him through. And one of the key spots where he was really a big time guy for me, I started someone over Latavius Murray, and I paid the price. It was basically the outcome of that game. Whoops. But yeah, I mean, McKinnon's been really good. I think you can kind of trust him going forward. In the past, since week 10, he ranks 3rd in receptions behind Eckler and McCaffrey. And actually, Ramondre Stevenson's right there behind him. So he's in a really good role. Right? I think he's in a really good role, and it's a highly productive role at this point. Jonathan Taylor, haven't officially put him on IR on the sheet yet, but it's going to be a Deion Jackson, Zach Moss split is kind of what we've learned this week. Zach Moss, 53 snaps, to 25 for Deion Jackson. 24 carries for Zach Moss, 13 for Deion Jackson, 14 routes for Zach Moss, 9 for Deion Jackson. So he did play well ahead of Deion Jackson in this game. You know, we'll see if we can glean more information about this going forward. But at present, this feels a little bit like an avoid situation given the workload. However, they do play on Monday night next week against the Chargers, who can really give it up in the run game. So this is a situation we're going to need to watch and see if we get some more information for it, but I don't trust it as of right now. All right, next up, Najee Harris, and his backup is Jaylen Warren. This has crept back a little bit more towards Najee Harris, too. It had gotten more into a timeshare early on in the season, but it's really worked its way back, I think, to, you know, two-thirds or plus thereabouts for Najee Harris. Again, it's down from last year, but that's not hard. He was basically never came off the field last year. But he goes 24 for 86 and a touchdown in this game. And actually wasn't targeted, which is interesting. It wasn't targeted on 12 routes, which is interesting. Trubisky has an impact on this for sure. You'll take a 14.6 point game, and it's not great, but it'll kind of check the box for you. In terms of your lineup, he didn't probably make a huge difference, but he didn't fall on his face either. San Francisco again, McCaffrey, he's come up a bunch, but he's really the man. Buck 08 and a rushing touchdown, and then he had 6 for 30 receiving. It's going to be a big workload with Elijah Mitchell out. Jordan Mason, the clear injury away guy, but only played 7 snaps. So TDP feeling pretty fraudulent right now. Cordarrelle Patterson and Tyler Allgeier in a split in Atlanta. That is kind of like an ongoing type deal. Patterson played ahead of him in terms of snaps by 1, 37 snaps for Patterson, 36 for Allgeier. Patterson ran 19 routes to 12 for Allgeier, 14 carries for Patterson, 17 for Allgeier. Again, pure split workload in a run-heavy offense. They ran it 39 times. Ritter dropped back to pass 26 times. I'm sorry, he passed the ball 26 times. He was sacked 4 times, a couple of scrambles as well. So you get the idea. It's well on the run-heavy side of offenses. I think both kind of fit in your running back two type landscape. Deonta Foreman and Chuba Hubbard in Carolina, I mentioned them earlier, sort of circling back on it. Foreman only played 14 snaps. He had 10 carries in this game. Hubbard had 29 snaps. He had 4 carries in the game. So it's 10 carries for Foreman, 4 for Hubbard. They ran the ball for a total of 21 yards in this game. So pretty lackluster overall performance. Frankly, I thought Foreman had like some juice here down the stretch. Totally doesn't happen in this game. Pittsburgh just absolutely runs them over. I just want to check how many total plays that they had. 46 total plays. Wow, that's got to be the bottom 5 of the season this year for a team. That's a really low number. So, we talked about the stuff with Foreman, some of the limitations that he has just with the system and which and way that is going. All right, next up we've got Saquon Barkley. He was awesome on Sunday Night Football. Fun to watch. He brought me into a win. Right, he got me there, so that was fun. He played 54 snaps, 22 routes, 18 carries. Breida only played 11 snaps, but it's notable that he played ahead of Gary Brightwell. So Barkley, 87 yards and a touchdown, and then he added 5 for 33 passing. So again, you'll take all of that. Right? You feel fine about his performance, and I hope that he got you. I hope that he helped you this week, because he definitely helped me, and he got me into on to the next round. So onward and upward on the season. And Breida feels a bit like an injury away guy, right? That him and Brightwell will probably share some work, but it feels like Breida would be the first man up. All right, the Jets and I don't think that I have it. Oh, it, no, I'm sorry. I misread it. Yeah. So it's almost a complete work split. Zonovan Knight and Michael Carter. 33 snaps for Michael Carter, 30 for Zonovan Knight. 24 routes for Carter, only 8 for Knight. 13 carries for Knight and 4 for Carter. So Knight goes 12 for 23, and then he gets blanked in the passing game. So that's crummy. Michael Carter goes 4 for 15 in the running game, and he gets blanked. I'm sorry, he goes 1 for 16 in the passing game. So between the two of them, not great performance here. And against a team that, frankly, you know, they probably should have got, right? The Lions defense had struggled early on, but this is like the 2 months now of the Detroit Lions defense being like a vastly improved program. And I'll be honest with you, like, this is an encouraging sign. I, you know, the NFL put out this thing where it was like, hey, here's the you know, you guys have basically wasted $800 million by firing coaches and executives over the past, like, I think it was 5 years. And this is like a good example of why you shouldn't do that. Be like, they were rough to start the season. You had some rookies, like, you were kind of trying to get it together. Like, that loss to Seattle certainly cost them, and it's going to, like, they would be in a vastly different, they'd be in the playoffs right now if they didn't lose that game 48-45. Against Seattle, right? They'd have the tiebreaker and they'd be have 8 wins. Like, they'd be in the playoffs. But so yeah, I mean, that did that suck? Yes. But they've played vastly better. And I think it's a testament to, you know, a stableness, which, you know, Dan Campbell's not the most probably stable person, but the fact that they didn't fire their defensive coordinator and they figured it out, they kind of got it together. And now, like, this, like, no one wants to play the Lions. Like, no one wants to play the Lions here down the stretch. It's going to be a fun team to watch. But yeah, it really took the wind out of the sails of Zonovan Knight. I don't trust him. I just don't trust him. Like, he's been fine up until this game. I just don't trust him. The Saints, you've got Mark Ingram to IR, which is a bummer. David Johnson comes in and fumbles. They had him on the practice squad. They had Dwayne Washington up kind of behind him. And now I think the answer is it's David Johnson's the injury away guy. I feel like a low level of confidence in this. I'd probably pick up David Johnson if I've got, like, nothing better on my roster, but there's a reason why they're way down this depth chart, right? They're way down this running back matrix. He had 4 carries for 12 yards and a fumble. Like, Kamara goes 21 for 91, and then he catches 2 balls for 13 yards. So again, that's double digit points, but man, that doesn't feel good. Like, so yeah, I don't love it. In a game that, frankly, they were in control of basically throughout. Atlanta tried to make kind of like a later charge, but Atlanta was up early, and they didn't get a ton out of the running game. So I don't know. Like, I think you kind of play Kamara in that running back 2 type flex spot, but he's going to be a massive faller in the offseason would be my assumption. Cam Akers and the Rams playing on Monday night, so we'll watch that. And then David Montgomery in Chicago, he had a really good game. Scores both ways, running back, running and receiving. 53 yards on 12 carries, efficient with a rushing touchdown, and then 3 for 38 and a receiving touchdown. You love it all. You love that line for him. For the week, he was up to running back 6 pending Monday Night Football. So really solid 24.1 point performance. And then Tristan Ebner and Darrington Evans were behind him. Evans ahead of Ebner, 16 snaps for Evans, 11 routes, and 2 carries there. So basically 3 to 1, like 2.5 to 1 Montgomery over Evans in this game. Next up, we've got Travis Etienne and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Etienne's been a little bit banged up, so I would make sure you have any Jamichael Hasty shares out there scooped up. He only carried the ball once, 19 carries for Etienne, but Hasty 11 routes to only 2 for Snoop Conner, so well ahead of him. Etienne's going to be an interesting offseason guy, especially where he slots in compared to the running backs coming out. Again, first-round pedigree, you're going to have a hit on your resume for him. And it's going to be it'll be probably, I mean, we'll have to sort of see how this goes. It's going to be, he's got the chance to sort of get to a top 12 seasonal finish. He's at 18 right now, but he's basically, it's going to be hard. He's got 40, he'd have to close 40 points on the people up there. And I don't see anyone like massively falling off. Like he would need a couple of huge games to get to that range. And he kind of got a late start because of James Robinson, but really down the stretch here, he's been better. Since week 10, ETN has been he's actually been running back 34. So it has been kind of a disappointment up since he was getting some of that running back one type treatment in Dynasty. And so I think he's going to be – like I'm super interested about his market because like it's been kind of a tale of like three seasons for him. I'm interested in buying because I think I think that this offense is a bit erratic, and I know Lawrence like kind of has these flash moments, but you get like they kind of go like ebb and flow. It's like some interesting like he's constantly bringing them back from behind, which is feels a little bit like it doesn't feel like the most efficient offense because of it, you know? So let's see how this thing stables out. I'm pretty encouraged by ETN about his season overall in the whole and the fact that he's kind of rid himself of James Robinson. So we'll see what the offseason brings in terms of him. I think right now he's kind of in that running back two type landscape. Miles Sanders says he doesn't care about his about fantasy GMs or any bets that people had on him, which is funny because he's going to learn in the offseason that no one cares about running backs. When he hits free agency. So that's the deal there with Miles Sanders. And 11 carries, 42 yards, pretty disappointing game this week. One catch for negative 13 yards. So really bringing it down there. Not often does a reception actually lose you points in a PPR format, but Miles Sanders managed to do that this week. Ahead of Gainwell in the receiving game, and it's Gainwell over Boston Scott in basically the complete injury away type situation. So maybe you bump up Gainwell a little bit in terms of how you feel. But again, that job has remained pretty much in flux. Damian Pierce looks like he's going to head out for the season. Range doesn't look like he's going to be back, so that's kind of a bummer. Eno Benjamin is gone. But Royce Freeman's there. Royce Freeman, Burkhead, Agumba Wale. I mean, I'm just going to intentionally leave the AOD starter blank just because I think that reflects my views on the matter. I'm just going to put in there intentionally left blank. And that's it. That's how I feel about the situation. I think if I had to start someone gun in my head, I'm picking Dari Agumba Wale, but otherwise, I'm not super interested. For the metrics, because that's why you're here, 27 snaps for Agumba Wale, 8 carries, 8 for 14. In the passing game, he was not targeted. So, yeah. Royce Freeman, 11 carries, only ran 5 routes. He went 11 for 51. So, Rex Burkhead, 12 snaps, no carries. So, in terms of third down stuff, it's all actually Rex Burkhead. Goal line stuff, the one goal line snap was Freeman. Short yardage was a split between everyone. Early downs was a split between Agumba Wale and Freeman. So, yeah, good luck. Godspeed. And don't use this running back. Depth chart. All right, that's going to do it here for this running back rundown for this week. And a full scrubbing of our injury away matrix, our human hand grenade matrix, as we look to bludgeon people here down the stretch. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.